Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. The topic of today's message is long-suffering. We're going to find from Galatians 5 once again that the Holy Spirit produces long-suffering within our lives. Here's Paul Chapel.
When my wife Terry and I were in Bible college, we began our first pastorate before I ever graduated from Bible college. There was a group of people out near Indio that needed someone to come and preach for them. And when you're in Bible college, you take every chance you can to go preach. In fact, I drove 150 miles one way to have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. One of the things we enjoyed about that place, besides seeing people come to the Lord and grow in their faith, we really enjoyed the area. There in the Indio area, there are a lot of date palm orchards, and they really prided themselves in the fact that dates grow in that particular environment and in that particular climate. And in fact, if you've ever been through Indio, you know they have annually the Date Festival, and that's kind of their fair they have down there. And then they have places on the side of the road that make date shakes. How many of you have ever had a date shake? Some of you say, I just like to have a date, forget the shake. But anyways, they have date shakes, and you can eat the dates and drink the shakes. And we learned a few things about dates in those days. We learned about date trees. Date trees live a very long time. In fact, they don't even start bearing fruit until the fourth year, and they don't really kick in fruit bearing until they are 80 years old. And when a date tree reaches about the 80-year mark, it begins to produce around 100 pounds of fruit annually. It is a long-suffering tree. It is a tree that doesn't reach its potential until about 100 years of age. This morning, I want to speak to you about another fruit called the fruit of long-suffering. This is a fruit that cannot be grown by man. It is not a fruit that you can bring about on your own. It is a fruit that only God can produce in your heart. It is a fruit that every home needs. It is a fruit that you will need at work this week. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is long-suffering. Long-suffering is an English word that comes from a Greek word with two roots. First of all, the word macro, and secondly, the word thumos. Macro means slow. Thumos means wrath. So long-suffering means slow to wrath. And this is a characteristic that every one of us can learn about as we walk in the Spirit. Now, how many of you understand this morning that patience or long-suffering in the very first part of its origin is an attribute of God? How many of you realize that God is long-suffering? The Bible says in Exodus 34:6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" By the way, how many of you are glad today that God is a long-suffering God? I tell you what, I'm glad he's been patient with me, because in the Christian life, sometimes I think we grow a little more slowly than we sometimes could, but God is a patient God. And God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're not to let the sun go down on our wrath. We're not to be filled with wrath or anger or malice. And God wants us to become more like him in this matter of long suffering. We live in a day where people want quick retribution. People want to get even fast. People want to find an attorney and go sue the whole wide world if they could. It's just people have that way about them. And even many Christians that I meet, they harbor ill feelings towards other Christians, and they're not quick to forgive. They are not long-suffering. I really wish we could all be more like the little boy that one day was standing by the escalator there at the shopping mall. And as he stood by that escalator, just watching it as it came down, the lady that worked in the department nearby walked up to the little boy and said, "Son, are you lost?" And little boy said, "No, ma'am. I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back." Now, I would say that's a good illustration of long suffering, wouldn't you? And the fact of the matter is that all of us need to say, "Lord," we need to say it right now, "Lord, help me to learn today about being long-suffering, because if this is a fruit of your Spirit, then I want it. I want what only you can grow in my heart." Now, what does long-suffering do for us? How will we know when we're growing in this fruit of the Holy Spirit? I want you to notice in the first place this morning the perseverance of long-suffering. The perseverance of long-suffering. Long-suffering enables you to persevere the difficult moments of life. Paul said of long-suffering in 2 Corinthians 6:4, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." He said he was approved as a minister of God in or by his patience in life. In James 5 and verse 10, it says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." So whether it's the Apostle Paul, whether it's the Old Testament patriarchs, we see that one of the characteristics of greatness in their life was that they had patience, they had long-suffering. Now stop and think about this for a moment. I believe that the people we respect many times most in this life are people who have exhibited long-suffering during difficult times in their life. They are people who have been able, by God's grace, to show forth this fruit of long-suffering. Now, why can we as Christians have long-suffering when other people become faint and quit and throw in the towel? Now, I believe there are two very primary reasons that we need to understand this morning. First of all, we persevere because of God's purpose. We as Christians can persevere with long-suffering because we know that God has a purpose in the trial. He has a purpose in the sickness. He has a purpose in the job difficulty. We know that he's always working in our lives. Now, I want to give you three purposes very quickly that I've seen in my life and in the lives of others. First of all, sometimes God has the purpose to correct us. He allows trials so that we might be corrected. Anybody in here want to be honest enough to say, "Pastor Chapel, there have been times in my life when my heart got kittywampus," that's Greek for out of turn, "my heart got sideways with God, and I was going in a wrong direction for a week or a day or a month or longer, and I was not living correctly in my life." Anybody want to admit that? I'm willing to admit that. There have been times in my life when my heart was just sideways with the Lord. And God will bring some things into our lives during those times to say, "Hey, You're going in a wrong direction. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now, I want you to catch that. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Just like when your little children are going in a wrong direction and they keep playing in the middle of the street, you keep telling them not to. Now you're going to chasten them. Maybe apply some wisdom to the seed of knowledge. And you're going to say, "Hey, I don't want you to play out in the middle of the street." God says when we as Christians are going a direction that is contrary to his will for us, he will bring something into our life, some chastening, so that we might be corrected. And the sooner we listen to God in those times, the sooner we're able to learn the lesson that he's teaching us. Sometimes God will bring these times into our lives to challenge us, to challenge us. God wants to grow us up. God wants to help us get to the next level spiritually. Now, I want you to listen to this verse, and it's there in your notes. This is a fantastic verse, Psalm 119:71. It says, "It is a good thing for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, think of that. Some of you that are going through some affliction, listen to this. The psalmist said, "It is a good thing for me that I have been afflicted." Now, I'm going to tell you what. I know when this verse became real in my life about 8 years ago. And I had to claim this verse in my life personally. And I didn't claim it right away. In fact, a lot of times we don't claim these types of verses right away. In other words, when someone has a sickness or when someone is going through a trial, when someone walks out to the parking lot at Walmart and sees that their car has just been keyed and the paint scratched off, the first thing they say is often not, "Boy, someone just scratched the paint off my car. It's a good thing." They don't say, "Man, I feel nauseous today. I feel terrible today. It's a good thing." No, that's not what we say. We do not say it's a good thing. Brother Furso is a Cubs fan. The Cubs are playing baseball tonight. He was telling me, just as I was back here a moment ago in a spirit of prayer, trying to get ready for this service, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, he was telling me, "Pastor, I'm not feeling real well. I don't know if I can come to church tonight." Let's assume, it's difficult to assume this, but let's just pretend that the Cubs could lose tonight. It would be difficult for Brother Furso to come to the office tomorrow and say, "It is a good thing for me that the Cubs have lost." That's normally not our reaction when something goes against our will. But that's what David said. "It's a good thing for me that I've been afflicted." Why was it good, David? "That I might learn thy statutes." Now, let's just be honest for a minute. Sometimes we get into autopilot, we make our own decisions, we go our own way, until something like cancer or unemployment or sickness or trouble hits our path. Then we say, "Okay, God, you've got my attention. I want to learn what you are trying to tell me now." And that's why David said, "It was a good thing that I had this affliction, because now I'm ready to listen to God." Sometimes God brings these things to our lives to correct us, sometimes to challenge us. And here's something that I hope will encourage you, because it encourages me. Sometimes God brings these things into our life so that he can use us more greatly. So that he can use us more greatly. I had a pastor friend years ago. I called him up. I began to cry all my blues to him. I told him about this family that was coming, and now they're not right with God, and they're doing this and that. And I told him about this bill that was due, and I told him about this problem I had. And I just was telling him all these problems I had. And he said to me, he said, "You know, I am so excited for you to hear about these problems." And I thought, this guy is sick. I'm telling him all my problems. I'm looking for some sympathy. He says, "I am so excited for you," because he said, "Brother Chapel, you wouldn't be having these problems with your building and with all these situations if God wasn't preparing to use you in a greater way in the future." And you know, as I study the scriptures, I've come to believe that the man was right. For there was a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. They literally got rid of him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They treated him poorly. They lied about him. They did everything against Joseph that you could do against a person. And yet the Bible says in Genesis 50:20 these words. Joseph speaks now to his brothers some years later. He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." They thought they were hurting Joseph, but Joseph says, God meant your evil for good. God wanted to use this affliction to promote a purpose in my life, and that was to use me in a greater way. I don't know what God has planned for your life, but He has you here on this earth to do more than make a dollar in your industry. He has you here on this earth to do more than simply have a great career. He has you here so that He can use you to bring the glorious gospel to somebody else, so that He can use you to be a blessing to someone else. And when trials come, don't waste that trial, but let God prepare you for a season of greater usefulness in your life. And so we see that the perseverance of the long-suffering helps us to fulfill God's purpose. And secondly, we persevere because of God's priority. Because of God's priority. Now, God has a priority for all of our lives, and I'm going to share it with you right now. And I want you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And if you don't have a Bible, look in the notes, because I want you to see this isn't pop psychology. This isn't my thought. This is the Word of God. He has a priority for your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Many of you have heard this before. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now that's awesome. No matter what trials, God's at work. He has a purpose. We know He's working. And we thank God for the purpose. But now look at the priority in verse 29. For whom He, that is God, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The word predestinate is not related to salvation. It is related to God's will for you after salvation. God has a predetermined will for your life. Those of you that are saved, He has a will for your life. He has predestinated this will. What is it, Pastor Chappell? Notice it is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Let's say that together. To be conformed. God's priority for me and for you is that as we travel on this earth, we might be more and more like Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, be patient with me, God is not finished yet? Have you ever seen that one? That's true, by the way, isn't it? Be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. And God wants you and God wants me, through the trials of this life, to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have adversity in my life, I want God to do a removing job. But God wants to do an improving job. Sometimes God does not remove the problem because He wants to improve the person. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. And He's allowing that trial so that you'll read your word more fervently, so that you'll spend time in prayer, so that you'll not be lackadaisical about church attendance, so that you will adhere to the word of God and become more like Jesus Christ. And your ability to wait on the Lord at those times is an expression of your faith. It is an expression saying, God, I believe in You, and I believe that through Your Spirit, I can be long-suffering at this time in my life. And so we see the perseverance of long-suffering. God will allow you to see your way through. He will see you through as you are long-suffering. Notice, secondly, this morning, the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. I believe that a Christian person who is filled with the Spirit and who is long-suffering when there is a health problem, when there is a wayward child, when there is a trouble at work, the person that is long-suffering and doesn't throw in the towel and doesn't quit church and doesn't get mad and stomp off, that person, over time, will have greater influence with other people. They will be respected. There will be an influence that God puts on their life, and they will be able to help others down the road, even through their trial. Someone said, long-suffering is the grace of a man who could revenge himself but does not. And I want you to see the influence that God wants you to have even through the difficulties of this life. First of all, God wants you to have influence with your family through these times. He wants you to have influence. You say, Pastor Chappell, I have a son, I have a daughter, I have a relative that it seems like I have no influence on them at all. I want to tell you this morning, you're wrong. I want to tell you this morning that God will use your testimony in their heart much more than you realize. God will use your long-suffering, your patience, the fact that you never gave up on them. They will take note of that. The fact that you were always there for them, like God was always there for you. They will take note of that. Like the father of the prodigal son, they will know that you love them. And God wants His Spirit to make a difference in your family. God wants us to be more patient with our families as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Any unsaved family can yell and scream at one another, can kick each other out. But God wants Christian families to exhibit long-suffering. And by the way, I might say this morning that a good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. A good marriage is the result of being the right person. God wants you to be Spirit-filled. He wants you to be long-suffering in that relationship. Sometimes we're not as long-suffering as we should be, but God says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now listen, God wants all of us to be full-time ministers. See, I thought that's you guys on the platform. No, that's all of us guys in this room and gals in this room. He says, I want you to minister grace to your family. I want you to minister grace to the people you're talking to. I want you to help them to know that you love them as you minister to them. Now we need a lot of wisdom at this area. And we need wisdom as spouses to try to see their situation and from their point of view. And we need long-suffering if our family life is going to work. I thank God today. I thank God for a wife that has been long-suffering with me. Fellas, I don't know about you, but I hope that you thank God that your wife has been long-suffering with you. There were two smart men in this room just now. The rest of you, you don't need to come to the picnic for lunch today. You might as well just go somewhere on your own. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. I gave you a chance there. I tried to help you. I'm going to try that once again. I don't know about you fellas, but I thank God for a wife that has been long-suffering with me. Yes. Oh, yes. Godly men. Amen. You could have encouraged your pastor and your wife had you just been awake at that very moment right there in the message. Now, seriously, I thank God today that I have a wife that walks in the Spirit that has been patient with me. And I learned early on in marriage how stupid I really was. I showed my stupidity in many different ways. I remember when we were in Bible college, I worked at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and I came home oftentimes about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was filled with grease and dirt. I'd go right to that kitchen sink, get a bunch of Ajax, get some Ivory soap, wash my hands, and get much of the dirt off, maybe half of it or so. And then that first night home, as we were newlyweds, that first night home from work, I just reached down there by the oven and grabbed some of those towels that were there and just started wiping that dirt and grease all over those towels. And that's when my wife walked in. And that's when I learned that there were towels to dry your hands and there were decorative towels. I thought there were just towels that you just grab. But that's when I had to learn that there are different kinds of towels for different purposes. And my wife had to be long-suffering with me. I'm thankful she did not throw a pan at me that night. She was long-suffering and kind towards me. And long-suffering will build a strong family. Sometimes, fellas, we have to be long-suffering with our wives, like when they want to go shopping. Shopping is one of those words that has different meanings to different people. To me personally, shopping means know what you want, know where you're going, know how much it costs, go get it, go home. That's basically what shopping is.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chappell and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chappell's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chappell. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.